Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the episode 13 of the Simcast first season. I am one of the American hosts, Ben Williams. Usually, this would be a UK week, but due to circumstances beyond Matt's control, his computer decided to not cooperate. So, unfortunately, this week, the Americans are here to save the day again.
Yes, we saved the day.
I fully expected you to start singing the Team America song whenever I said
that. Oh, sorry. Okay, well, let's try that again.
America! And we can't use the rest of the song because we'll get fined.
Come on in to save the day now, America!
We're canceled.
Hey, I censored myself.
Of course, this is the Simcast, your local source. Well, not local. Your weekly source of occasional sim racing news, but mostly us goofing off for an hour. Of course, you already heard.
We're flying by the seat of our pants because we were not prepped for this show at all today.
So, if there's a dip in production quality, that would be why. Boy, Matt, I actually haven't introduced you yet. We're so frazzled, Mr. Louis Sowerly. How are you doing this evening, Louis?
We are doing quite well.
Or
most good.
I was about to say, very impressive use of the English language, and then you said most good.
I like to do little tiny things like that that'll throw people off, you know? Like, the one that really throws people off is if you tell them that you're moderately neato.
Moderately neato, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No wonder people hate the English language. Anyway, of course, you can follow along with what all discussions we're going to be having in tonight's show on our Twitter. It's the @SimcastRadio, using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And, of course, we're all members of the collective, so you can reach us through there as well. Yes. So, without further ado, shall we get started, Gooby?
America!
Oh, no.
It's
just
going
to be like this all evening, isn't it?
No, I'm going to say eat more tacos.
Eat more tacos. Did you even have time to make the tacos? Did you even have time to make tacos?
I did not, actually. That's a bummer. But I did have tacos on Tuesday, so Taco Tuesday was a good day.
Lucky for you, I had chicken.
Yeah. Actually, I had double tacos on Tuesday, because one of the food trucks at the job site I'm currently at, they had tacos, and I guess they call them dunking tacos, so they're like ooey gooey with cheese on the inside, and then they give you a sauce that you can dunk them into. Mm-hmm. And oh man, is that good!
Have you ever had a walking taco, or is that kind of
a walking taco? No, I've never heard of that.
Okay, so I don't know if this is just a Northeast thing or this is just a Pennsylvania thing, but what a walking taco is that you have your taco meat with seasoning. Typically, you can buy at Walmart for like $1.29 or something like that, and you
okay.
You take one of those single serve bags of Doritos, the nacho cheese ones. You slice the bag open, pour the taco meat into there, and then you have a walking taco.
Oh,
it's also used with Fritos.
So I do a similar thing for any time I have taco leftovers or something like that. I'll have my meat, my lettuce, my cheese. Instead of a bag, I'll actually have it in a container, and then I'll go to a convenience store and get me whatever my favorite flavor of Doritos is, crush those up, and put them down in there. So it's effectively the same thing, only with a different container.
And with actual lettuce and tomatoes, because you don't get that in a walking taco, usually.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. The only place I've really had tacos would be, like, high school sporting events or college sporting events or something along those lines.
Yeah. Okay, now that we've got the food portion out of the show.
Yeah, now
that
we've actually talked about tacos. Since that's been the running gag for 4 months now.
So tweet us at the Simcast.
Yes, tweet us at
tell
the
us what your favorite way to eat tacos is.
Yes. Are you a hard shell or are you a soft shell? Or can we all have both?
Anyway. Or if there's a different way that you have tacos. Mm-hmm. Kind of like
or
Ben's walking
taco.
Or if you
hate Taco Bell as much as I do.
I think everybody hates Taco Bell after they've had it.
There is one thing at Taco Bell. We're completely off topic.
Yes, we are.
Oh, I blame Matt. Just finishing with thought. There's one thing I talk about that I actually like. It's the quesadilla that they... Not the quesadilla. I can't remember what it's called. Crunchwrap Supreme, I think it is. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I talk actually, about I like.
Actually, I don't know if you have it up there, but Taco Bell's breakfast is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. We have it up here. I just haven't partaken in it.
Yeah, it's
I'm not
quite
a
good.
Fast
Anyways.
Food breakfast kind of guy. Anyway, Sim Racing News. We do occasionally talk about it. So, kind of the biggest piece of Sim Racing News this week was that we've kind of had some details supposedly leaked about F1 2021. The last couple weeks. Supposedly on the Microsoft Store of all places. Yes.
I was going to say, going on to the Microsoft Store, we've seen leaks like this happen before. I wonder if they're intentional leaks.
I don't know.
By the game companies themselves.
Just to get some press, you mean?
Yeah.
See, I don't think so, just because of the nature of it. Like, it's there for a couple hours, and then suddenly, poof, gone.
Yeah, but how else does the information get on there if it's not coming from...
Human error? Like,
well, if it's not coming from the actual game publishers themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it could be human error, or it could be an intentional error to leak.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
In cases like that, what I've mostly assumed happened was that, all right, we're going to announce this game, put it up on the store on this date, so go ahead and put it into the system and code it for that date, and they put the wrong date in wrong. They put the wrong date in.
Which very well could happen, but this just seems to happen a little bit all too often.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes.
That's why I think it's almost intentional.
While Louis adjusts his tinfoil hat. So things that we've kind of learned from... things we've kind of learned from this leak. I'm not going to put that in air quotes. Apparently, the next installment of the F1 franchise will... be just another year release with enhanced graphics and the changes to the relevant team colors and things like that.
Yeah, it's just a copy and paste sort of thing.
Yeah. And yeah, in a now removed product listing on the Microsoft Store website, F1 2021 is said to be targeting a July launch with a brand new campaign and co-ops season mode included. Now that's interesting.
Yeah, a co-op season, that would make things a lot more fun.
Weren't there other F1 games that had that option? Because I seem to remember playing F1 2017 on a team with, I think it was Matt, actually.
I don't recall.
I don't either.
I don't
think
about it.
Matt might have been... the owner of the owner of the car news site that I wrote for right after college when I didn't have any money and was trying to get a job.
I honestly don't recall, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're sitting here wrecking my brain.
F1 co.
Well, I'm sure somebody out there in the collective could tell us if it did happen. So we'll leave that one up to them.
Apparently,
to let us
there was
know
one in 2019.
There was one in 2019. Okay.
Yes. But okay. Apparently, it was not in 2020 because I'm not seeing any reference to it.
Well, 2020 came out early because of COVID, so I'm wondering if that had something to do with it.
Hmm.
Might have been on. So this could be the relaunch of a feature. Then
it could be.
That's what
yes.
we're going with. Yeah.
Anyway, the reported date during the leak would be July 16th of this year. This may now will be subject to change, as neither Codemasters nor EA have confirmed any of the information that the leak revealed. However, the listing continued with mentions of several intriguing new modes and facets, such as Breaking Point, the thrilling new story experience, the franchise's first ever campaign mode.
Ooh!
Furthermore, the marketplace continues with teasers on split-screen function and updated research and development programs headed to the beloved career mode.
Okay.
F1 2021 is also apparently putting an emphasis on training those who may be interested in playing the series for the first time. It's revealed that the game will come with casual race option for more relaxed racing, with beginners also being able to practice in the 2021 season of Development League Formula 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Last week, Codemasters seemingly attempting to deliver F1 2021 to the realm of esports, as further description of an in-game arena to watch and participate in competitive online events. Apparently also confirms that leagues and weekly events, along with social and ranked races, will be returning for this year as well.
Hmm. Okay.
And I
Well, the esports thing is not really anything new, per se.
No, and it's also not exactly groundbreaking. Unless they're talking...
No.
Unless the subscription that... What I think they're saying is that it's basically going to operate like... that's kind of already how it operates already. I'm not sure, honestly. Maybe it's going to be like, is it AMS2 that has the spectator camera views so you can watch racing? Maybe it's like that, if that makes sense.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, that would be definitely cool if someone pulled that off where...
that'd be epic if it was.
Yeah, like, it's a pretty good way to capitalize on the popularity of, like, watching a race on Twitch or something like that. Just build it in the game so that if you want to watch a race live, you can, you know, like, well, okay, consider it the virtual equivalent of going to a race. You can buy into it or pre-register or something like that, and you get a link that you can click on. It will, like, pull up the game for you. And you can go watch from the stands of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a cool idea if someone can.
That would be cool.
We should market. We should like copyright that, because I don't think I've ever heard anyone actually talk about this before.
Well, go ahead and do yourself the cheap man's patent. Mail yourself the idea.
Yes. If you're a developer and wants to buy that idea off of me, let me know.
Well, too late. It's already out there now. That's what I'm saying. You need to go ahead and get that patent in now.
Yes. I will do that right after the show.
There you go.
Anyway, do you have any thoughts on this, Louie?
None really. I mean, outside of the... Like I said, it sounds an awful lot like a copy and paste sort of thing to me. Some of the details I really like the co-op championship sort of thing, and maybe some of the updates on the career mode. That, what I think would actually probably be pretty epic if a game company ever did, instead of doing a single championship, if you had a co-op career mode myself. That way you have you and your buddy who came out of the Formula 2 series at the same time, and then you kind of see where each one's career goes, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Out of the same season. Or seasons, for that matter. Be kind of a cool thing to check out, I think. Just an idea, because we already do co-op seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
Co-op career modes, I think, would be a good thing to do.
There was a tweet from the account Turn1 #MODGP that I'm trying to get translated, because it comes up in Italian, and I'm not fluent in Italian, so I can't really read it right now. So I'm kind of more or less relying on the Google Translate to help me out here. And it's not
I'm getting nothing here on this one.
Yeah. The gist of it is that It will have the full, of course, being the F1 game, will have the full 2021 calendar, including the new additional tracks that they added just because of, you know, COVID restrictions and things like that, as well as two potential classic tracks and post 2011 classic cars. So something besides, like, cars older than the Michael Schumacher, that kind of thing.
Eh. But 2011, I mean, that's almost like, it's not really classic, I would say. It's more historic, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there is a difference in terminology. So.
Yeah.
That's really all I can say about it. I mean, the last couple of F1 games really haven't interested me all that much, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
I mean, because like I said, they have been just merely copy and paste with the new cars.
Yeah. I finally got Google Translate to cooperate with me. The game will have 30 circuits, 23 on the calendar, including Imola and Portimão, and 5 alternative and 2 historic tracks.
The
new classic F1 cars will be from like 2012 to 2020. So I'm not sure what they mean by that, but again, it's Google Translate, so take this with a grain of salt. There's a reason there's an entire YouTube channel devoted to making fun of the way that Google Translate translates things.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anybody's ever bored during your day, go ahead and look that up. That's good entertainment.
I think it's called Twisted Translations, something like that. Anyway. We're completely off topic. So.
Yeah.
I'll be definitely interested to see what happens with F1 2021, just because it's probably going to be the last game that's free of EA interference, because, you know, if it's going to be releasing in July, then they've only had like 7 months to be able to get their grubby little hands on it.
Yeah.
You and I have had this conversation. We trust about EA about as far as we can throw them. And that's not very far.
I'm pretty sure I don't even trust them that far.
Yeah.
So, we'll find out.
Yep.
I hope we are both humbled.
Yeah.
On that one, so.
Yeah. Be sure to be on the lookout for more F1 2021 news. I'm kind of staying in the same realm of F1. And since we talked about esports already, F1 Esports hasn't announced their women's wild card.
Now, this is interesting. Let's see if I can try to catch up while you discuss about it. Yeah. Wow, that's a very short page.
It's a very short page. The gist of it is that F1 Esports has introduced a women's wild card event, which will be a female-only qualification route into the pro exhibition. Open to only female competitors, racers will be able to complete over the course of the week of May 3rd to 9th, setting final laps on F1 2020 to determine who's the fastest. The fastest qualifier will go through to the Pro Exhibition in May, and a special event where 10 F1 esports teams will have the opportunity to select from a pool of some of the fastest sim racers in the world. At the Pro Exhibition, a further gauntlet of in-game assessments will help determine teams fine-tune their rosters for 2021 as qualifying hopefuls are put through their paces. This event, including the women's wildcard assessments, will be shown live across F1 social media channels on Thursday, May 27th. Female competitors have featured in other F1 esports in the past, and thus far, there have been no women racing professional ranks of the F1 Esports Series. With the introduction of the women's wild card, it's hoped that more female racers will be encouraged to take on F1 Esports from a grassroots level with a view of being the first female driver to be selected by an official F1 Esports team. So before I get up on my soapbox, Louis, what are your thoughts?
I think my thoughts are probably going to mirror your soapbox thought.
casual sexism much?
That's how I view it as. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of the people out there who are going to fully disagree with us and say that we're the ones that are showing sexism. But, I mean, I firmly sit with, when it comes to esports and real-life motorsports, the same way that Pippa Mann does, mm-hmm. which I don't know if anybody knows her thoughts on her, but she's very specific that she doesn't want to be the best woman race car driver. She wants to be the best race car driver, all genders aside. To me, this is a similar thing. I don't know if it's exactly making it look like a single team has to choose from one driver or all the teams have to choose from one driver from this particular league. I'm not entirely sure how it's all working.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if it's literally the fastest woman in the series gets selected and has to be required to join a team, well, I'll play devil's advocate on this one. Let's say that she's 5 seconds off of the fastest lap time from everybody else on the team. At that point, it's more of a setback for the team that has to choose from the driver. I'm not saying that, you know, it's necessarily what's going to be the case. I can't tell you how many times I've been on a sim race myself and been smoked by female drivers. So, it's definitely a double-edged sword. I mean, yeah. It's a fine line that I have to walk and not try to. It's a hard subject. I'll put it that way.
They're trying to shoehorn in the fact that they want to appear to be, what's their thing? Races won, that kind of thing. Despite the fact that, you know, F1's taken a lot of flack for doing the race in Abu Dhabi and the one driver who has, I'm not even going to go into that because I will literally.
That's another bag of worms altogether.
That's a whole bag of worms altogether. If you're not familiar with who I'm talking about, then you probably haven't been paying attention to F1 over the last couple months. It's a new rookie driver who drives for a team with a white car. That's all I'm going to leave it at. And it's the one not related to F1 royalty. Anyway, it just feels like they're doing this just to say, look, we care about women.
You know what? That's actually probably a better way to do it. This looks more like more of a publicity stunt than it is
that's
actually trying to engage women time racers.
I'm not even going to read the first sentence because it's very clear that this is a PR stunt whenever you read the first sentence.
Yeah.
It's I'm not going to say it's tone deaf. It's just not. F1's not reading the room here. I think that I'm trying to remember the name of the driver who has been in the Porsche All-Star event.
Oh, I could not tell you on that.
That's what it is. Emily Jones has proven that there's fast female racers out there. You don't have to. I don't think if there's a fast female driver out there, she's going to set herself apart. You don't have to make this fancy little thing over here on the side just for them to make their way through the pack. I mean, Sabine Schmidt, perfect example. She's the mm-hmm. queen of Nürburgring for a reason, because she's faster than everybody else there. How many times has she won on that track?
Oh, numerous.
Numerous, yeah. So, F1, do better. Come on.
that's about all we can really say.
Come on. Really?
Without getting in trouble for this one. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, everything I've said is pretty much all I can say about it.
Yeah. I mean,
not without feeling disgusted over myself, no matter what I say about it.
If you're a female racer and you want to do this, by all means, go do that.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're a... if you're like not interested in F1 esports and you see this as a way of... I forgot what I was going to say. Hold on. If you're a female racer and want to take this route, by all means, go ahead. But if you're a female racer and you feel like you have to do this just because it might be your only way to do it, I don't know.
Well, if any female racer that feels that this is their only way to do this, then...
They should still do it, but still understand that.
At the same time, I think if they were to do this because they think it is their only way to get noticed on something like this, then I think they're just as closed-minded as the release on this. Me, personally.
Yeah.
Not trying to sound cynical, but I mean...
Yeah, I more or less agree with that, but... Yeah. It's a weird double-edged sword, as you said. Like, there's no right answer to this.
There's no right answer, and there's plenty of wrong answers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we hit on about 15 of them.
Oh, probably. So, I hope everyone enjoyed the Simcast. We're probably going to get canceled next week.
Well, at least the English will be back next week, so we'll be in quarantine for a while, I think.
All complaints via Matt Hunter. That's at Jensen09 on Twitter.
Because it was his computer that took a crap for us to be here today.
Yes.
actually, we have a reason.
I will say this about the women's wild card. It's definitely going to add a different angle in F1 esports that hasn't been there before. So it'll be interested to see how this actually plays out.
Oh, yeah.
And if we get to see more women racers as a result... good, but still, F1, read the room. All right, moving on. Lewis, you want to handle this next one?
What do we got here?
AMS2.
AMS2, let's see what we got here. Ooh, and dear listener, you're learning about this just as soon as I am. So, apparently we've had a tease of an upcoming edition, the Brabham Fan Car. And no, that's not fan as in the people who listen to the show, the fan car, as in the big old giant vacuum cleaner. Suck the car right down to the ground. And this link is not wanting to open up for me, and I think I have seen a clip or the shared image of it before. Oh, here we go. I don't know why it's being so slow for me on this one right now. Yeah, it was on Twitter that I saw it as well. I was like, pull up the link here, and on the backside, I'm not really seeing it, but there's a zoomed-in version of it, and yep, that is definitely the fan car. Big old giant disc on the back of it. Yeah. Big old giant circle on the very back of it. Sure enough. Well done, whoever zoomed in on that. That was impressive.
Yes.
Wow, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it is the Brabham BT46B fan car from the 1978 season.
Ooh.
And more precisely, the 1978 Swedish Grand Prix. Before the FIA sweetly deemed it apparently they controversially decided that, yeah, this is illegal. Go away, please.
Actually, no, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure somebody will correct me on this one, because Bernie Ecclestone came up with this car. Actually, this is back whenever he was a engineer for the team and stuff, or at least it was his guys. They were fully allowed to keep using the car, but Ecclestone stepped in and said, I believe it would be terrible for the sport if we continue to use this, so let's not use it anymore. And then the following season, it was banned. So they were able to use it the rest of the season, but decided not to, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong out there, dear listener. So,
Riot
Studios shared this, so that's the same company that used to have control over R-Factor 2. That's fun. Another developer, Automobilista 2. That's interesting. Okay.
I thought R-Factor 2 was Studio 365.
397? Yes, it was, but sorry. I believe it was a Ryza Studios production before that. Mm. I could be wrong
on
Ryza's that.
Yeah, Ryza's always been AMS2's developer, from what I remember.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just basing what I said on the Race Department's article about this, which it's Race Department, so I tend to follow what they say just because they've been around for so long, so they kind of know what they're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. And this is all coming from one tweet that said, "Had a fantastic weekend, everyone." From Ryza Studios last Friday. Anyway, so be on the lookout for that if you are a fan of classic F1 content on AMS2.
Go
moving
for it!
On, much to Matt's happiness, WRC10 has been announced, and there is much rejoicing.
I was going to say, I think after you said that, Matt just magically woke up from his bed over in the is just going ahead and pumping and screaming his head off, and we can hear it from here.
Yes. WRC10 has been announced with a bunch of new features, current, next-gen, console support, and more.
Emphasis, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yes.
On historic cars and stages. That's interesting.
Yes. It also is sporting some improved physics and custom team editor in career mode.
I think that's the first time they've had a custom team editor in the WRC titles.
Mm-hmm. I've never really put any time to WRC titles. I've mostly been in the dirt side of the spectrum, honestly.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, and I thought I read somewhere before that this particular title actually falls underneath a new developer?
I believe it's still the same developer.
Is it? Okay.
I think that, if I remember correctly, Codemasters gets the actual WRC license.
Maybe that's what it is. Okay, that's perhaps what it is, I've seen. Okay.
See, I remember us talking about this. Codemasters has...
Yeah, that's why. That's why I was like, I don't know, but okay.
Yeah, Codemasters, back in June of last year, secured the WRC license from 2023 through 2027.
Okay, gotcha. Yes. Which that's going to be funny to see. Is it going to be Codemasters Dirt WRC? Or WRC Dirt?
WRC Dirt, probably. Just because Dirt WRC doesn't sound that good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, so things... So
next line of business.
I'm just...
Bear with us, dear listener. We are doing this on the fly, as usual.
Yes.
Well, not really as
usual.
Well,
not
but...
really as usual. We used to have a week's advance, not like 3 hours.
If that.
So we, as far as I can tell, the only thing we really have now is just the announcement trailer, which you can go watch on YouTube. We do have the vague date of launch of September 2021. On PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, and PC, with Nintendo Switch to follow at a later date.
Wow. That's a pretty late release, then.
Just
announced this earlier in the year. That's a pretty late release from announcement, then.
I mean, it's 5 months.
Is it? No, it's more than that, isn't it?
September 2021? It's... 5 months away.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It's April, right?
Oh my gosh, you're right, it is.
Here, and I thought I was off. Anyway.
Wow, okay. This year's flying by.
Yeah, I know, right? Just making sure. Yeah, we pretty much hit all the highlights. There's not a lot of things that we can glean from the trailer. Apparently, historical events include the Acropolis
Rally
and Sanremo, I believe, which can be driven in the cars that have defined the WRC from the Alpine Renault A10 through the Audis and the Lancia, the Group B era. the Subarus, Toyotas, and Mitsubishis of the 90s and up to the current generation of cars from Hyundai, Toyota, and Ford. So,
I still wish they could revise a good historic rally that was very high on attrition, the Safari Rally. A nice rally that used to happen in the middle of a rainforest.
Anyway, so we, of course, will be on the lookout for more information about WRC10 as we get closer to the release date. The announcer trailer in question is on PlayStation's YouTube channel if you want to check that out. And we'll be sure to retweet it sometime after the show. Don't think I can do it right now since I'm already balancing five other things. Anyway, moving on. Actually, Lewis, if you want to talk about this one, a new motorcycle game has been announced called Rims Racing.
Rims Racing, okay. Yes. I know you're not real big into bikes, so let's see what we got going here.
Oh, it's a Nikon.
It's a what?
Nikon. They're the developers of WRC10.
Oh, no kidding. Yes. Said to be a racing game with a difference thanks to a focus on mechanical elements of motorcycle racing when it arrives later this year. Ah. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, they also revealed WRC10 at the new Milanzi Race Ward Studios. Rims Racing was initially discussed in July 2020, which I do not remember them making an announcement, otherwise we would have heard about it. Mm-hmm. Back then, all we had was a brief description and one teaser image, which they show below on this announcement. Today, though, we have more information as the game nears completion. Ooh. And do apologize to your listener if it sounds like I'm reading off of a website, because I am. The game will see you start adventure by selecting from 8 of the most powerful European and Japanese motorcycles. From the initial images, we can see bikes from manufacturers of Kawasaki, MV Agusta, Honda, Ducati, Suzuki, and Aprilia. You can then race them around 10 real-world official tracks and across 5 road-based routes. Mm-hmm. So this sounds like a very bare-bones type racer. And dare I say, the graphics kind of look like last-generation games, if I'm honest. Just by the teaser images. I don't know what all details are going in on this particular game here.
Yeah, the announced circuits look pretty good. Silverstone, Laguna Seca, Suzuka, Nürburgring GP, and Circuit Paul Ricard.
Yeah, those are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
All are actually notorious, except for the Nürburgring so much, for their bike racing as well.
I'm curious mostly what these road routes are going to be like, though. Is it going to be like... I'm trying to think of a good example. I'm trying to remember. I think it was one of the Project Cars games. It was literally just a section of highway that you can drive down. I think it's
something
like that, or is it
Project
kind of like
Cars 2 had that? Yeah,
or is it kind of like a hill climb type thing?
Yeah, street circuit sort of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. So anyway, continuing on, the difference here seems to be the simulation of how a bike is created and the effect on performance that different parts create. There will be over 500 official spare parts available and more than 200 official equipment items for your rider. So that's actually quite substantial.
They're going after Ride. They're heavily going after Ride with this.
I was going to say, Ride lately has been more about the motorsport content and not so much on upgrades for bikes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're there, but it's
also been mostly faux sponsors, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. During a race, brake disc temperature, tire pressure, suspension behavior, and electronic maps can be monitored so you can create the perfect bike setup. So telemetry is available, by the sounds of it.
Nice.
And instead of a vehicle collecting angle, the smaller bike list instead hints towards gameplay aimed at tinkering, tweaking, and getting to know each one of the most minute detail, far more than any other motorcycle simulations available at present. So that would explain the smaller list and why they've gone more for parts, especially at 500 official spare parts. That's, to be honest with you, I think that's more than any sim racer out there, period, whether it be car, bike,
Forza's all of their, more modern games, It's been like, oh, you have street sport or race parts. None of them have been branded. Not even tires are branded.
Right.
From what I've seen on the older motorsport games, so like Forza Motorsport 2 and 3, they were quote-unquote branded, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I was going to say, even the early days of the first Gran Turismos, where it was a lot of parts that you can buy for the cars at that time as well, this has actually gotten way more than that. So I'm actually kind of curious to see what this would be like. So, and also on this announcement, they also had the reveal trailer, which I will have to check out later.
We'll tweet that as well.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and tweet that. See what else. Launch material talks about ultra-realistic and precise physics. So that can be intimidating when it comes to bike racing sims, a la Isle of Man TT games.
Mm-hmm.
And combining that with the number of parts available and tolerances measured, there seems to be as much as a focus of the tracks, or as much focus off the track as there is on it. We'll have to go hands-on with the title to see how all this comes together, and if it's able to clearly explain the pros and cons of each mechanical update. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm going to have to earmark this. Have they made an announcement for the date?
Yes, they have.
Be available on 19th of August.
Yeah. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Oh, it's going to be on the Switch even.
Yes.
WRC wasn't announced for the Switch.
It said Switch will be eventually.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. And this comes out a month sooner, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
We're basically 4 months from this now.
Yeah.
Give or take a day.
Or three. Or four.
Three.
Yeah, three.
But,
so, okay. Yeah.
So if you are a person of the motorcycle-liking persuasion, I'm sure Matt was excited when he saw this. Be sure to check out that. Rims Racing. Capital R, small M, or small I, excuse me, capital M, capital S, Racing.
So looking at the reveal trailer just before I even hit play, the graphics on that look far better than the teaser shots they've given us already. So maybe they've made those and cleaned them up a lot more. Yeah. Anyways, I'm excited to see what it's like. Going to be like, actually.
Yep. And you pretty much choose your platform because it's on all of them.
Yeah. Pick one.
Yeah. Just pick one. Anyway, so we'll keep an eye on that. See if we can maybe get some advanced copies. Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Probably not.
We
never get that lucky.
Sim racing developer and want us to review your stuff on the show, let us know.
Before you release it or before you announce it.
Yeah. Again, our Twitter is @SimcastRadio using hashtag SimcastRSL if you want to get in contact. Shameless self-promotion. Anyway, speaking of shameless self-promotion...
No, I'm pretty sure there was no shame in that whatsoever.
No. The connection to what I just said and the story will make sense in a couple seconds. Recently announced yesterday, in fact, or no, 2 days ago.
Mm.
I'm not sure. SimRacing.gp has officially been open for public beta. The new sim racing platform, SimRacing.gp, has moved into open beta state, meaning it is open for everyone to try. It's now allowing people to stress test the platform. Now, the reason I mentioned that was that apparently everyone's favorite shed-dwelling sim racer, Mr. Jimmy Broadbent, actually mentioned this during his stream. I believe it was yesterday, and his viewers basically crashed the new site. Whoops.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jimmy, we'd love to have you on the show, sir.
Yes, we would love to have you on the show. We are willing to ask Kindoff to say, please no Punterito Jimmer, so you can have that. Anyway, simracing.gp, just a little bit more information about it, puts event organization in the hands of those with a vision, apparently, according to race department. No longer are you required to know how to configure a server and be sapped by energy and compelling entry lists or pursuing result files. If you have an idea for a sim racing community, you have everything you need to get it up and running. SGP currently offers three titles on the platform: Assetto Corsa, Assetto Corsa Competizione, and Race Room, which should be enough to get you racing and having some serious competition. With plans have also been announced to add AMS2 to this as well. There are no rules in terms of how you set up your community. If you want to organize MX5 races in AC on Mondays, Race Room 90 ZTM on Wednesdays, and ACC GT3s on Saturdays, you can. And there is more to come, too. A significant update to the platform will enable teams driving in ACC to get ready to host those driver swaps endurance races. Race when you want. Don't let anyone dictate when you can race, with access to literally thousands of servers on SGP. You decide when you want to race. No need to book a slot in the calendar. No waiting for another race to finish before you can go. You race on your clock. For drivers, there's plenty of opportunities to race. You can join in on daily races hosted by SGP. These are just for fun, but try your best to get those as these results will be collected and used to create some awesome single-player online experiences in the future.
So, is it just me, or does this sound an awful lot like a non-iRacing iRacing?
Kind of, if that makes sense. Obviously, I'm still involved in Tora pretty heavily. I'm the Tora president.
Right.
Matt is the Tora founder. We got started on this show as it being the Tora radio show. So my perspective of setting up like online championships is a little bit different. And I'm more or less familiar with how it works on other games. For Forza, and actually pretty much all other titles except for iRacing, now I'm thinking about it, setting up a championship is not a in-game thing that you can do. For iRacing, you can pretty much set up your own championship, invite drivers to it, etc., in the iRacing UI. But for something like ACC or AC, if you have your own private league, there isn't a tool in-game for you to track that kind of information. You need to set up like a Google Doc or something like SimRacing GP to track that information for you. At Tora, we designed one basically from scratch ourselves after using Google Docs for years, called Online Race Manager, which is pretty much built for Forza, which we are working on eventually being able to like pull data out of a server if Forza ever enables that. Excuse me. But we are also actually set up to be able to do results pulling from ACC and iRacing. Just, you know, if you want to check that out. Having a league that exists on those games where that stuff doesn't exist is having the ability to be able to track your championship is extremely helpful.
Yeah,
if that
for
makes
sure.
any sense. I'm trying to simplify like years of experience and trying to condense it in 2 or less minutes.
I mean, it's pretty good, and I kind of like the concept of it. I use a very similar software, not to say that it is the same, but a similar software for my offline R-Factor 2 championships, where basically I just create a directory to the game itself, and the game will dump the files directly to the particular program that I use, which is actually a web-based program, but it does need the link to go into the files and do it, but it keeps track of everything for me there, and I don't have to do any points or anything like that, which does make things very, very nice and very quick. So,
yeah.
Quite fun. And this looks like it just takes that all together. But what I'm curious about is that it talks about that you don't have to create a server. I'd be more curious to know how that works.
So, like, for ACC at least, just because I'm more familiar with that at the moment, you kind of need to set up your own private server, whether that's through Amazon Web Services or... Oh, what's
right.
the name of the one that's basically the one you're supposed to use? I think it's Euro or Emperor Servers, something like that.
That's, oh, I could not tell you.
Yeah, it's basically, it's a server hosting company that's basically everything's set up for you to be able to run a series on these games, and it kind of collects everything for you. I believe Sim Racing GP, that's kind of what they're doing here.
Okay.
It's just that they're focusing more on user, like users in general, than they are league management.
Like, right.
Management's important, but they want to make sure the user experience is better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. I get it. Iron out the bugs before you do out the big features. Just much like anything else is.
It's definitely an interesting little website. I'm just kind of looking through it now. I know at least yesterday there was literally a part of the page that literally says, "Jimmy, you borked it," after his viewers crashed the site.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a more esports focused. Ooh, Discord integration. That's pretty cool. Sorry, I'm getting off. The part of my brain that manages racing is trying to take over from the part of my brain that hosts a Simcast. So before I roll off into that, be sure to check out more information about SimRacing.gp as it comes available. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again whenever it hits into, you know, full public release. Anyway, sorry, getting distracted. So, in the last 6 minutes of tonight's show, probably 5 minutes by the time I'm finished saying it, it's time for the Esports Roundup of the Week. Esports Roundup of the Week. Starting with the IMSA iRacing Pro Series, which I did get to watch live, like I said last week.
Oh, nice.
Yes. The IMSA iRacing Pro Series presented by SimCraft. Not Simcast, different company.
Hello, Matthew Thill.
Yes. Got underway with its first of three races at Sebring last Thursday night, and it would prove to be a fantastic night through Scott Andrews, the driver of the number 74 Rally Motorsports RG8 Esports MLP2 car, try saying that five times fast, would take pole position and would go to take victory in the one-hour race by just over 10 seconds. Victory would
That's a dominating win, then.
Yeah. Victory would be Andrew's second straight win, with Scott also having won the IMSA iRacing Pro Series Invitational event in January at Daytona. I don't think we really talked about that one much on the show.
I don't think we did either.
Daniel Morad for Algera Motorsports / More Radness Esports would take second place, with Richard Helstad rounding out the podium for for Carbana, with Big
Peregrine
Racing, thank you, / GasX Racing Team. In the GTLM class was much more dramatic. A dramatic final lap would see Philip Egg inherited the race lead and thus the win, when former leader Robbie Foley, would run out of fuel in his number 96, your favorite team, Turner Motorsports BMW. Therefore, Ed would take victory for the BMW Team RLL in a 1-2-4-5 finish for the squad, with Bruno Senger finishing second, Nick Tandy in the BMW Team RL sandwich in third place, and Bruno Senger will finish second with Nick Tandy in the basically in amongst the sea of BMWs for Corvette Racing in third. John Edwards and Conor De Filippi would take fourth and fifth, respectively. The second round, the IMSA Iris Pro Series presented by Simcraft will take place next Thursday, April 22nd, at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. I didn't say it wrong this time. And be able to catch live coverage, of course, in sound and vision at IMSARadio.com, courtesy of everyone's favorite radio show network, RSL. Lewis, you want to talk about the Porsche Esports series?
Absolutely, because I am such the Porsche fanatic. The penultimate round of the season at Le Mans Circuit de la Sarthe, Josh Rogers would hold an incredible margin of 127 points in the standings heading into the event, and would subsequently take pole position. Teammates Rogers and Collins would trade the lead down the Mulsanne and would work together to not fight too hard for the first few laps and try to get away. That's a good karting technique, by the way, anybody who's done kart racing before. However, Seb Job would get involved on the final lap and move from first to first at the end of the Mulsanne and down into the Indianapolis. However, Rogers would get the run back on Job into the Porsche curves. Porsches and Porsche curves, that's funny. And would pull off a superb move around the outside to retake the lead. Rogers would just hold on to take the win ahead of Job, with Collins taking third. Diego Pinto would start on the reverse grid pull for the feature race, but an electric start would see Mitchell DeJong grab the lead on the run down to turn one. DeJong would hold on to the lead for the first half of the six-lap race. But on lap four, Boudaloup would... Did I say that right?
You're asking me?
Boudaloup, that's a fun last name to say, I'm not going to lie, would go for the lead at the end of the Mulsanne. What resulted would be a three-wide exchange in the run down to Indianapolis, with Diego Pinto bump drafting Josh Rogers through to the race lead, but DeJong would work his way back by his teammate soon after in the process. Sebastian Job tried, quite frankly, a stupid move to attempt to take it four wide for the lead, despite the fact that he was well off track and with zero space. He and Boudaloup would make contact with themselves and the wall and would fall back. Another incident with Job and Mac Backham. Yes, I did pronounce that correct. Mac Backham would finally end a messy race for Sebastian.
Jordan's editorial is coming through that one pretty heavily.
Yeah. Guando would hold a 1-2-3 at the start of the final lap, with DeJong leading Rogers and Collins. However, the Guando guys would slowly whittle themselves down. Collins would slide into the gravel at the end of the Mulsanne, with a battle between DeJong and Rogers down into Indianapolis being taken three wide by another teammate into the shape of Tommy Østgaard. Østgaard and DeJong would go side by side through Indianapolis, Arnage, and down to the Porsche curves. That is a long stretch of circuit. But contact with Østgaard would send DeJong spinning into the barriers. A spin for the challenging Pinto would collect many cars on the exit of the Porsche curves, with Rogers scampering away to take another victory, and with it, the 2021 Porsche Esports Super Cup Championship, with one event remaining next week. 183 points now separate Rogers from DeJong. Østgaard would take second place in the race, with rookie Zach Campbell avoiding all the chaos to take the final spot on the podium. Good job there, dude. The final two races of the 2021 Porsche Esports Super Cup will take place on Saturday, April 24th at Autodromo Nationale Monza in Italy.
Whew. Yes. With the Porsche Esports Championship also comes the Porsche Esports All-Stars race. Championship leader Emily Jones would take pole position, and qualifying would go on to take an easy, comfortable win by over 5 seconds ahead of Bordeaux Zanzo, with Exibir Sanchez completing the podium. The reverse grid poll would go to Maximum MXM. I'm never sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I'm guessing that's the team name?
I believe that's their Twitch name, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. But Dan Soloski would get the jump and would be leading down to the first chicane as multiple drivers got involved in the collision further back after M.R. Thatcher lost control. That should probably be Thatcher, yeah. Amir Thatcher. I'll say it right eventually. The Bayway would see Soloski in a 3-second lead as the field ventured onto the Mulsanne straight for the first time, thus making it very hard for anyone to catch him for the remainder of the race. Soloski would go ahead and win by 10 seconds with Tony Kanaan, yes, that Tony Kanaan, and Matt Ballone completing the podium after an entertaining battle between the two. Emily Jones would finish ninth and is now unable to be caught with two races remaining for the final event at Monza next week. 98 points are between herself and Soloski.
Go her.
Yes.
There, that's girl power right there for you, F1.
Yeah. Just going to quickly mention the e-NASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series. Sixth round of the season took place at Richmond Raceway on Tuesday night. And it was a phenomenal night for Space Station Gaming's Vincenzo Solasis, if I can remember how to pronounce that correctly. The number 55 driver would take his maiden pole position in the series and go on to lead every green lap on his way to his maiden victory.
Oh, go him.
Yeah, he would control numerous race restarts with ease, including the final green-white checkered restart to take the victory with the number 2 Elliott Sadler, eSports driver of Garrett Mains, running second all the race and finishing in the runner position. Ryan Luza, Isaac Gunn, and Bobby Zielinski would complete the top 5. The NASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series will return with its 7th round of the season, April 27th, which is 2 weeks from now, April 27th at Kansas Speedway. Lastly, the penultimate round of the season at Silverstone for the British GT Esports Championship saw RGN's James Baldwin would take yet another victory from the pole position and would thus secure himself the British GT Esports Championship. Yay for him. With one race remaining next weekend. Baldwin would finish over 20 seconds ahead of fellow McLaren driver Alex Buncombe? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, with Angus Fender, our good friend, putting a great effort to complete the podium in the BMW, which he felt was very disadvantaged at Silverstone due to BOP issues. There's every race director's favorite word, BOP. In GT4, Niles Naujoks also had the opportunity to wrap up championship heading to the race. However, his fifth place finish would not quite be enough, so we'll have to wait until Donington to secure the crown. Jack McIntyre became the fourth different winner in the GT4 class out of the four racers. Taron Gim and newcomer Pierre Oliver Conatier would complete the podium. Fordian Haas has been fighting for a podium until contact would come out in the late stages, but see him off the podium. The British GT Esports Championship will conclude next weekend, Sunday the 18th, at Donington Park, with Baldwin already announced that he will not be attending since he's already wrapped it up.
Well then.
Yes. I will say this now, in the last literal seconds of the show, that we are going to attempt to have Baldwin on, if not next week, sometime in the near future, to talk about his experience.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yes. So, another week, another show, another collection of sim racing news, along sprinkled in with our random antics.
and a lovely in-depth conversation about tacos.
Yes,
eat more tacos.
I'm hungry after that, actually. I should probably go get I probably should go have some tacos. Anyway, this has been
Simcast.
It's burrito
day. I want flats. I might go do that.
Yes, Simcast, episode 13 in the books. From all of us here, myself and Lewis, bye for now. Remember, stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Say it, Louie.
Eat more tacos.
And bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.